Matthew chapter 2, chapter 2 of Matthew, chapter 2 of Matthew, beginning at the first verse. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And Herod the king had heard these things. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all of the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called his wise men, inquired of them diligently that what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the child was born. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And when being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Today I want to talk about worship the king. Worship the king. Worship the king. It's your birthday. A party is thrown to celebrate. Family and friends come bearing gifts. Everything is carefully planned to make this a special occasion. It's a special occasion for everyone, with one notable exception. Your family and friends enjoy one another's company, but no one seems to have brought anything for you. While everyone seems to be having a good time, no one seems to care that it's your party. This scenario takes place every Christmas as people are caught up in this Christmas spirit. Jesus is left out of the celebration. Can I just say that? Let me just say that more correctly. Jesus is left out of our celebrations. It has even become offensive, it seems, to wish people Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays. Is now the political correct greeting. But I want to just submit to you today that you can't have Christmas without Christ. As Santa Claus and Christmas trees, shopping sprees, family get-togethers, and, oh yes, football games consume our attention, we have lost sight of the real meaning of Christmas. What is the real meaning of Christmas? I hear you asking the question, what is the spirit of Christmas, or what is the Christmas spirit? Christmas is a call to worship.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I know that's contrary to what we've been taught in times past, but through and through, Christmas is about worship. The Gospel of Matthew proclaims Jesus to be the Messiah King. It fulfills the Old Testament prophecy. The validity of this claim is established in the opening chapters of the book of Matthew. In Matthew 1, the fact that Jesus is the Messiah is affirmed by the nature of his birth. He was born in the royal lineage of David, which is the point of the genealogy of Matthew 1 through 17. But let me help you to understand that Jesus is the Son of God. In this narrative, Matthew reports the birth of Jesus was not just an important event in the history of Israel. It is important because it also captures the attention of the world. Even the stars have spotlighted the birth of the one whose life, death, and resurrection would change the world. I repeat that the proper response to the birth of the King, to the proper response to the birth of Jesus is to worship him as King. Why should we worship Jesus as King? Knowing that we fail to worship him as King, and we've made Christmas very seldom about Jesus. I want to suggest to you today that when we view Jesus from the perspective of these wise men in the text, we will worship him as King. But Reverend, that doesn't tell us why we ought to worship him as King. Let me just tell you why. First of all, we worship him as King because God is calling us to worship the King Jesus. This narrative is not about the birth of Jesus. It's about what happened after the birth of Jesus. We don't know how long after his birth that these events took place, but it is in some reports, and some theologians say that it was at least a year after. Verse 11 tells us that Mary was in a house, not a barn or an inn. It also tells us that Jesus was not a baby in a manger. The only thing we know for sure about the timing of these events is that it was in the days of Herod the king. Now, look at verse 1. It says very clearly to us, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. There are quite a few traditions that surround these wise men that really can't be verified.
That's right.
Scripture does not say that it was three of them. It does not say that they were kings. Matter of fact, as you can see,
They weren't at the inn or at the manger. So often when we have the nativity scene, somehow, some way, we got the wise men there as well. Amen. I don't mean to burst nobody's bubble. But the term wise men translates in the original language from a term where we get the word magic from, or the word magician. It indicates that these men were astronomers who perhaps were experts at reading stars. These men made an impressive journey from the east and approached Herod looking for a newborn king. They asked, watch this, where is he who was born, who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come, watch this, to worship him. God led these wise men from the east to Jerusalem to worship King Jesus. And likewise, God is calling each of us to worship Jesus. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that Christmas is about worshiping Jesus. It's about worshiping Jesus. It's not about gifts that you receive, not about what other folk do for you, what you do for others, not about, you know, Santa Claus. It's about Jesus. He ought to be worshiped. He ought to be recognized. I was going to say this later, but I think here is a good place to say it, you know, before I say it again. To be honest, folk ought to be in church on Christmas because it is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about his story. Verse 2, watch this. Verse 2 helps us to understand that God is calling us to ask life's most important question. Verse 2 reported the wise men came to Jerusalem with the question, where is he who was born king of the Jews? And I want to help you to understand that it really wasn't wise for these wise men to go to King Herod and ask him, where is the king? It wasn't wise for him to go before, for them to go before the king and say, first of all, Herod was a king who took the throne by force. And he had the support of the Roman Empire. And he earned a reputation for treachery. Oh, yeah. And so they come and they ask him, where is the real king? They were determined to find out, where is the one whom the prophets of old have spoken of? And here is this king, this guy who has, look, he's had 9 wives and killed 5 of them. Killed his son. And these wise men have said, where is the king? Where is the king? And just to show you how treacherous he is, we read this every year about how he decided to send out a decree to kill every child 2 and under. He was treacherous. Yet they still were motivated. It just shows that they wanted to find Jesus. And this ought to be the question that guides and governs our life, even today. You know, we ought to ask, where is he who was born king of the Jews? Often we go about our journey, our lives, assuming Jesus is with us, but I want to submit to you that many of us have actually left him behind. Where is Jesus in your life today? Have you put your trust in him as your Savior? Have you put your trust in him as your Lord? How are things, watch this, between you and Jesus? What's your conversation life like with Jesus? What is your relationship with Jesus? The question ought to be, where is he in my life? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful today to serve Jesus. He is the King. God is calling us to ask that question, but he's also calling us to practice life's most significant mission. Verse 2 tells us the wise men came to Jerusalem with a question and a reason why they asked it. Where is this king who was, where is he who would be born king of Jews? Watch this. For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. It's quite mysterious. The nature of this star, just as the identity of these wise men. Many try to explain away this star as some natural phenomenon, or an arguing that it probably was some type of meteor or a comet. But it was a star that the Lord appointed to guide the wise men, or guide the magi to Jesus. Yes, look, I'm going to tell you the truth. I can't explain what happened. Yes, right. But I do know that God orchestrated the whole thing. Yes, yes, yes. I do believe. I believe Genesis 1 and 1. I believe it's true. In the beginning, God spoke the world into existence, and can surely create a star if he could speak the world into existence. Certainly he can tell a star, go over there and wait right there. I just believe he had that kind of power. Don't want to try to explain it away, but I trust that there was significance. And the significance, because God wanted it. Look, every person is a worshiper. God, I've discovered, is to be worshiped. And you, I've discovered something else. Your God is whatever you pay the most attention to. I'm gonna just keep my head down while I say that. But your God is whatever you pay the most attention to. Make no bones about it. Some worship their work. Some worship money. Some worship the things money can buy. Some worship family. Some worship pleasure. But everyone is a worshiper. It's unavoidable. The issue isn't if you will worship. The issue is, who is it you worship? And what you will worship? And I don't know about you, but I've come to the point in my life where I recognize that I ought to be worshiping God. I ought to be worshiping Jesus. I ought to be lifting him up. He's the reason. He is the King. God is calling. He's calling you. He's calling me to practice life's most important mission. And what is that mission? It is to worship the King. Worship him. I'm trying to help somebody here today. Right. You know, before we get full of all of our turkey and our eggnog and fruitcake and rum cake and so forth, sweet potato pie and dressing and goose and duck and chicken and so forth. I want us to be mindful that it's about Jesus. Somewhere in the he ought to be worshipped. I don't know if I said this, but I think I better say it here anyway. I don't know if I said this, but you know, folk ought to be in church on Christmas. I don't know if I said it, but But why is that, Reverend? Because we are here. It is a time whereby he must be worshipped. It's about him. Look, I just got a question, real quick question. That is when is your birthday? And folk throwing you a party. And you are the guest of honor. Don't you expect folk to be where the party is? I feel okay, y'all gonna play. Y'all gonna play this morning. Y'all gonna pretend like you're gonna pretend. Yeah. And so it's the same thing with Jesus. He ought to be worshiped. God is calling us to worship. But look, here's the second thing. We live in a world that resists the worship of the King. Verses 1 and 2 tell us how some wise men responded to the birth of Jesus, but verses 3 through 8 tell us how some foolish men responded to the birth of Christ. Many people are threatened by Jesus. Verse 3, and when Herod had heard, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him.
That's right.
Look, in 40 BC, the Roman Senate voted to appoint Herod as king of Israel, and he was to represent the Roman Empire. And Herod was enthroned, as I stated before, by military force. And he reigned until his death. And he was Rome's what they call puppet ruler of ancient Palestine. But he was treacherous. He held his power at a cost.
Yes, sir.
He killed his wife and his sons and brothers, and
yes,
you know, so that they wouldn't be a threat to his authority. And it is stated that Augustus Caesar reportedly said that it was better to be Herod's dog than to be Herod's son. How do you think Herod responded when the wise men asked him to meet the newborn king? Verse 3 says he was troubled. And all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. Almost as though he got mad and said, boy, the king mad. And folk were troubled out of fear because they knew that there were literally some heads going to be rolling. So one troubled man troubled the whole city. Herod was troubled by two words: born king. Jesus was not elected king. Jesus was not appointed king. Jesus did not become king by force. Jesus was born king. I kind of like that. I thought y'all would feel that like I felt it. He was born king. You know what Isaiah 9 and 6 says, 6 through 7 says, for unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I don't mean to shout, but this was a threat to the powers that be. The spirit of Herod is still not dead. There are those even now in this world who are threatened by the name of Jesus. We must not be ashamed to worship Jesus boldly. And must not be ashamed to worship him publicly. Must not be ashamed to worship him defiantly. We must have a mind that is made up to say to others that he is king. The other day I was in the store. The lady said to me, I said, Merry Christmas. She said, Happy Holidays. I said, well, that too. And she kind of giggled and she said, you know, people don't like Merry Christmas no more. And I said, why is that? She said, because Merry Christmas makes it religious. Uh-huh. Well, I said, well, Christmas is religious. Yeah. I said, you do know it's about Christ. She said, well, you don't offend nobody if you say Happy Holidays. I said, well, I don't see why not. Because holiday means holy day. You know what she said? I didn't think of it. I said, that's my problem. The world is not thinking. See, you can't get around who Jesus is. Whether it's Merry Christmas or Happy Holiday, he's still king. You ought to be able to worship him. I don't care who you are, I'm going to worship Jesus. This is his day. This ain't Buddha's day. This ain't even Mama's day. This is Jesus' day. He ought to be worshiped. He ought to be worshiped. King Herod was indifferent. He, in response to the inquiry of the wise men, Herod organized. He organized a national convention of religious scholars. He wanted to know where the Christ was going to be born. He wanted to know where was this boy who would be born king. He didn't want to know so he could praise him. He wanted to know who he was so that he could stamp him out. Yeah. I come here today on my way to New Jerusalem. Say to you that you ought to worship King Jesus no matter what the world may do. The wise men searched for Jesus so they could worship him. Herod was threatened by Jesus and plotted against him. The religious establishment ignored Jesus and went about business as usual. This ancient response to Jesus has not changed. And they confront us with an important matter today. What is your response to the name, the person and authority, the work and the message of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I tell you what the wise men were? Even though they were threatened, even though they were in a vicarious situation, you know what they did? They worshiped Jesus. They worshiped Jesus. The scripture shows us that they worshiped Jesus joyfully. And that's how we ought worship Jesus. We ought worship him joyfully. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. The star led the wise men from the east to Jerusalem. When it seemed the star disappeared. But after the wise men met Herod, the star reappeared and led them directly to Jesus. Verse 10 is parenthetical statement of response of the wise men when they finding Jesus. It says, watch this, it's beautiful. What it says, when they saw the star, they rejoice exceedingly with great joy. There is no record that meeting Herod the king brought joy to the wise men. But when they found Jesus, They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. These wise men were overjoyed to find Jesus. They did not enter the house where the child was until verse 11. But they were rejoicing, watch this, in finding the child before they were in the presence of Jesus. Their joy was not passive. It wasn't reserved or nonchalant. Finding Jesus made these men, watch this, shout. They didn't rejoice with their power. They didn't rejoice with their position or their possession. They rejoiced in finding Jesus. And this is spiritually, this was a spiritually intoxicating joy. Yeah, look, I want to help somebody understand it. Joy is a rebuke to those who claim to know, love, and trust Jesus. But get excited about everything else except Jesus. For some, Christ is a time of loss, pain, guilt, regret, or sorrow, not joy. But we must not allow anything to rob us of our joy over the child. Joy is that flag that hangs on the heart of the believers who declare the King is alive. Psalm 100, 1 and 2 says, make a joyful note unto the Lord. All the earth, serve the Lord with gladness. And I don't know about you, but I've discovered that you ought to worship him joyfully. Become what may, regardless of how horrible things are, regardless of what your circumstances are, you ought to be able to just lift up your hands and be able to be in exceeding joy. Because the King does live. Well, they worship Jesus joyfully, but they also worship him reverently. There are several ways, or a couple of ways, to view the Christmas season. We can view Christmas cynically, as if it is about nothing more than spending and making money. Or we can view Christmas graciously, wishing others the best and over the holidays and into the new year. But you don't have to be spiritual to view Christmas cynically or graciously. There are professing Christians who view Christmas this way. But only the true worshiper can view Christmas reverently. Only those who worship God in spirit and truth can see that Christmas is about the one born King of the Jews. This is how the wise men viewed the birth of Jesus. Verse 11 says, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Note that Matthew reports the wise men saw the child first, then Mary, his mother. Joseph is not even mentioned at all. Perhaps this is because the wise men did not come to honor a royal family. They came to worship the King. When they saw Jesus, they fell down before him and prostrated themselves before him in worship. They didn't come in and say, Hail Mary, Mother of Grace. No, they came in worshiping Jesus. I've discovered something about us. Many of us can't worship if we're not comfortable. If it's too hot, we can't worship. If the seats are hard, we can't worship. If somebody look too close to us, we can't worship. that the music and the preaching has to be right. If the music ain't on point, we can't worship. If the preacher's too long, we can't worship. If he ain't saying what we like, we can't worship. The sound has to be adjusted to our personal volume level. I couldn't worship. The speakers was too high. He kept hollering in the mic. The right people have to be sitting next to us in order for us to worship. Gotta have everything got to be in order for us to be able to worship. Our list of preferences has to be filled before we can worship. But this is the direct opposite of biblical worship. In scripture, the whole idea was to get out of your comfort zone so that you might truly worship. I forgot to mention, you know, when you get your hair done, you can't hardly worship. You ought to be at a point where you say, look, I'm going to sweat these curls out. Let this makeup run. God been too good to me for me to be cute on God. You ought to get out your comfort zone so that you can worship him right. You can't see his face and save your face at the same time. It must be all about Jesus Christ and him alone. Worship must also be sacrificial. It must be sacrificial. Verse 11 says, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I'm going to close it. The wise men offered Jesus their reverent adoration and their valuable possessions. Worship and giving go together. Yes, it does. In Exodus 34:20, God warns the children of Israel, and none shall appear before me empty-handed. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. The wise men came to Jesus bearing gifts. We do not know if it was three wise men. It may have been a caravan of hundreds. But scripture tells us they brought three gifts. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. The first gift of gold was a medal of royalty. It was the only gift worthy of kings. The wise men gave gold to honor the child as king. Well, the significance of the second gift is not so obvious. But frankincense is presented to priests to offer to God in sacrificial worship. The burning of frankincense symbolizes the offering of worship going up as a sweet aroma. The wise men gave frankincense to acknowledge the child. He is the priest. Jesus was born the King of the Jews and our great high priest. The gift of myrrh is even more mysterious. Myrrh was primarily used to embalm dead bodies. What a strange gift to give to a child. The wise men gave myrrh to foretell the child as Savior. Jesus, I thought I'd stop here today to tell you, was born to die. Yeah, Christmas has no meaning without Good Friday. The child was born to be our king, lived to be our priest, but died to be our Savior. And that's where I want to leave you at. You ought to worship him because, he came so that you and I might have the right to the tree of life. If he could sacrifice for you and for me, certainly you ought to be able to sacrifice for the Lord. Well, Reverend, what can I give? I really ain't got no money. What can I give? I really ain't got no gold. What can I give, Reverend? I ain't got no frankincense. What can I give? I ain't got no myrrh. Matter of fact, I just don't like dead folk. What can I give, Reverend? I'm so glad you asked. You can take your hands and you can raise them in the air and you can say, thank you. Oh, thank you. You ought to give them some worship. Give them some worship. You can't think of nothing to worship him abound. Well, can I help you out here? He woke you up this morning. Started you on your way. Well, that's not working for you. You got food on your table. You got the activities of your limbs. Didn't nobody have to push you in. You walked in on your own legs. You didn't know nobody. You ain't got to hold on to nobody's arm and be guided in. You could see yourself and see your way in. You got family that you can call. You got some, you've got some moments that you can reflect on. Can I mention you a couple of them? Somebody here was sick in the bed, thought they couldn't get well. You've got something to worship him for. Somebody here, the doctor gave you a report, said it was over. But he reached in. He touched. You ought to worship him. Somebody here got a testimony. I remember, Reverend, I went back and forth, in and out of the hospital. Thought I'd never see the inside of a church. But the Lord healed my body. Now I can tell you got something to worship him for. Children, you thought, you want the best for him. You've had a child that you thought wouldn't make it. Somehow, God covered them all night long. Answer to your prayers. You ought to worship him. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to lift him up. I'm going to praise his name. He's been so good to me. Excuse me, y'all. I didn't mean to do all of this. But ain't he all right? Have you tried him for yourself? Has he made a way out of no way at all?